to turn to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, which of course was written by John. By the time he wrote this, he was an aged man. He's the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, which makes him the same one that leaned upon the bosom of Christ, same one who stood close with Mary while Jesus was laying down his life on the cross, same one who looked into the empty tomb on the morning of the resurrection, same individual who was later exiled to Patmos for the faith. And we see that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and a window in heaven was opened, and John saw great things. Of the gospel writers, John portrayed Christ in a broader and deeper sense than any of the others. That's no criticism to the others. He is presented in John as deity, as God. Therefore, the Gospel of John is the deepest of all the Gospels. Contrary to popular belief today, people like to give away the book of John, nothing wrong with that, but their reasoning behind it is flawed, and that is, it's the easiest of the Gospels, and I believe just the opposite is true. It's the deepest of the Gospels because of the subject matter. The subject matter is, again, the deity of Jesus Christ. And John portrayed Christ in the gospel as the Son of God, as the great miracle worker, the master teacher, the great physician, the bread of life, the forgiver of the sinful, light of the world, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the king, also the servant. Presents him as the consoler in John chapter 14, and also as the true vine, the giver of the Spirit, the great intercessor. He's presented as the model sufferer, and he is the conqueror of death, and he is the restorer of the penitent. So John speaks in a broader sense of Christ than any of the other gospel writers. What is striking is John spoke or wrote with more familiarity than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And again, that's not a criticism of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But as you read the Gospels, you cannot help but realize that John had a deep, personal, not that the others didn't, but he had a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he was a man who was consumed and overwhelmed at the person of Jesus Christ. So it's this same John that now writes 1 John. And 1 John is written to believers, not just believers, but it was written to those who were very well indoctrinated in truth. We see in 1 John 2 and verse 1, he says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know So he's writing to those who know the truth. So his purpose in writing is not so much to inform them in doctrine, for they're already informed in doctrine. But he writes them to edify, not to tell them something new, but to confirm what they already had heard and what they had already known. And his purpose is stated in 1 John 1 and verse 4. He says, "In these things we write unto you that your joy may be full." So this is one of the reasons he's writing. He's writing to those who believe that they would have more joy in what they believe. And again, if we can't find joy in what we believe, as far as what I'm talking about believing, I'm talking about the Scriptures, then we're not believing it right. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So he's writing them that their joy would be full. He's writing them that they would have more assurance concerning their salvation. So he's writing to those who believed, not so that they would know more, not that they would necessarily believe more, but that their joy would be more full in what they believe. The theme of 1 John is living the Christian life. That's the theme of 1 John. And it, of course, is a foundational principle, a foundational principle of living the Christian life is to know Christ, is to know Him. The more we know Him, the better we know Him, the more apt we are to live the Christian life. The word know, K-N-O-W, is used 27 times in the book of 1 John. And the words knoweth God, we see that phrase in 1 John 4, verses 6 and 7. So this knowledge that John is speaking of is a personal knowledge, but it's also a growing knowledge, and we've seen this before in verse 1 of chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which again, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, we see that which was from the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We see in that verse that this knowledge that John had of Christ was a progressive one. It was one that was advancing. It begins with hearing. We see there, which we have heard, which we have also seen with our own eyes. Two entirely different things. To hear something, to see something. Seeing confirms. So there's a progression here. But it even goes beyond that. We have looked upon. There's a difference between seeing something and looking upon something. Once again, there is a progression. And then he says, we have handled. That is, we have touched. We have physically touched the word of life. We have physically touched Jesus Christ. So, John's talking about knowledge throughout the book, a knowing of God, a knowing of Christ. And he begins the book by stating this is a progressive knowledge. This is a progressive knowledge. It's a wonderful thing to hear. But if you never get beyond, If hearing never turns into seeing, you don't have much. And if seeing doesn't advance into looking, and looking doesn't advance into handling, you've fallen far, far short of the knowledge that we can have. So we want to look tonight at 1 John chapter 2. I want to read verses 3 through verse 6. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the reason he's a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him, in that individual, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now the word know in these verses 3 through 6, occur four times. In verse 3, we see it twice. And hereby we do know that we know Him. In verse 4, we see it once. He that saith, I know Him. And we see it again in verse 5. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So, knowledge must have an object. Must have an object. In other words, you have to know something. And we see of the four times that the word know occurs here in these verses, the object is Him. The object is Him. The object is Jesus Christ. Which goes back to verse 1 of chapter 2, which says, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, verse 2, for our sins. He's talking about Christ. So the object of the knowledge is Christ. But we're going to take our thought tonight from verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. We do know that we know that we know Him. So I want to speak tonight on knowing God and knowing it. I don't believe you can know God and not know it. Knowing God and knowing it. You see, there are many tonight who profess to know God and they know they don't know Him. But we want to look at the other side, and that is knowing that we know Him. There are different stages and different levels of knowledge, of course. That's true of what, it doesn't matter what knowledge we're talking about. There's different levels of knowing. And that's true with the Lord. I mean, us knowing the Lord. There are different levels of knowing God. None of us know God as we should. None of us know God as we could. None of us know God perfectly. So, but there are different degrees of knowledge. You can know. To know, you can be merely informed. To be merely informed is a level of knowledge. The receiving of information. You are informed, you receive the information. That's a level of knowledge. Everybody in this building has that knowledge of God. That is, you have been informed of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is. And everybody here, to some degree, has received that knowledge. It doesn't mean that everybody here is saved. It simply means there are degrees of knowledge, and one is to be informed. There are people in the world that have never heard, so they don't have the information that we have. So to know can be to be merely informed and to receive that information. That's how many of us went through school. We were merely informed, and to some degree we received information. Didn't do anything with it, but that's another subject. But so this kind of knowledge would simply be knowing about God. Everybody who sits in a Baptist church for any length of time knows about God. They receive some information about Jesus Christ. So there is an intellectual or religious knowledge of God, an intellectual or religious knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, that kind of knowledge we all possess. Most of us here have gone beyond that, but we've all possess that kind of knowledge. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that kind of knowledge. I'd rather have some information about God than not to have any information about God. So there's nothing wrong with that kind of knowledge. However, if we never get beyond that, now we have a problem. But there's nothing wrong with that kind of knowledge. It's where we all begin. So we can possess that kind of knowledge and yet be completely detached from Him. We all know from merely being informed that there is a nation called China. We know that because we've been informed. I'm completely detached from China. What happens in China has very little effect upon me. So we can have this knowledge of God and be completely detached from God. And there are people sitting in Baptist churches, they've been informed of God, but let's be honest, they are completely detached from the Lord. In fact, you can have this knowledge and be indifferent. Again, we can go back to school. I received information, but a lot of the times I was completely indifferent to the information I was receiving. I had a knowledge, but I was indifferent. And so it is today. Churches are filled with people who know information-wise of God, but they are indifferent to God. But in our text, and when the Word of God speaks of knowing God, it is speaking of something more than a knowledge of mere information. It's speaking of something more personal than a knowledge of information. Now also, to know, we've already seen, can just be simply to have information. To know can mean that you are aware of something. You are aware. And there are people who just have a general information about God and are not aware of Him. And there are people who have this information and they are aware of God. That is, they have a realization of God. But to know can go further than that also. To know can mean that we are acquainted with God. To be acquainted with something, that's a degree of knowledge. It means to be personally familiar with. Now there's a big difference between having information about God or information about Jesus Christ and being personally acquainted with him and being personally familiar with him, so familiar with him that you can be conversant with him. That is, we know by personal experience. Quite a difference in the degree of knowledge to know simply by information and to know by experience, two entirely different things. The kind of knowledge that our text speaks of includes information about God. It includes that. But it is an information about God that leads to a personal awareness of God, a personal familiarity with the person of God, which leads to something else, which leads to a confidence and an assurance and a persuasion and a conviction concerning His greatness. There are people who receive information about God, but they're not convicted. They have this information, but they're not convicted of His person. They're not familiar with His person. When we talk about knowledge of God, we're talking about a personal experience of God, a personal relationship with God. And in our text, the knowledge being spoken of is manifest in the life that one lives. And that's still true today. The life that we live declares very plainly our level of knowledge of the Lord. Again, any so-called knowledge that allows one to be detached from and indifferent toward God and does not have a powerful impact upon the life that that person lives falls short of the knowledge that our text is speaking about. So we have this knowledge. And it is, if you think about it, it's an amazing wonder that we as sinners can know God in the way that our text speaks of. We read in 1 Kings 8, verse 27, and also 2 Chronicles 2, that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Now you think about that. That shows how immense God is. But in order to understand that, we would have to understand how immense the heaven of heavens is. And we don't even understand that. And the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. And how marvelous it is that this God, who is immense beyond our imagination, this God can be known by you and I. We hear God say in Isaiah 66 and verse 1, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." That presents, at least in my mind, a mental picture. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And again, it is a picture that is immense. In Isaiah 40 and verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. How insignificant man is. How insignificant nations are. And what a wonder it is that God can be known by puny man. I mean, the nations are like a particle of dust. in comparison to God. And yet this God can be known. That's amazing. In Isaiah 9 and verse 10, we read, "They that know thy name." The name of God represents the person of God. So it's not just knowing the names of God, it's knowing the person of God. "They that know thy name." There are people that know who God is. That's amazing. Daniel 11 verse 32, we read, "The people that do know their God." The people that do know their God. And we read in John 17 and 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is eternal life, that they may know thee. We that are saved can know God in a way that the world cannot know God. Again, 1 John 4, verse 6, "He that knoweth God." 1 John 5, verse 20, "That we may know Him that is true." So God can be known by man. That is a truth. And we're talking about something beyond just mere information. We're talking about a personal experience, a personal acquaintance with God. This is a truth that ought to grip our hearts. God can be known by man. This is a truth that speaks of an everyday opportunity. I do not know God perfectly, which means tomorrow I can know God better than I do today. Tomorrow I can have greater personal experience of God than I do today. Tomorrow I can advance in my knowledge of God. And as we advance in years, we ought to be advancing in our knowledge of God. Again, people today talk as if when a church is growing old, that's the most horrible thing that can happen. And I'm afraid that's a very twisted way of looking at things. I mean, if God's people grow like they ought to grow, we realize it doesn't happen all the time. But if God's people were to grow like they ought to grow, what a blessing to have a church filled with old people that have known God and continue to know the Lord through the ages. God can be known. That is a truth that ought to fill us with a desire. If God can be known, and if God can be known by me, then it ought to be my desire to know God more every single day. To have greater personal experience with God. Never to be satisfied with mere information. We can sit down and we can read the Word of God and we can be informed. And we can sit in church and we can hear and we can be informed. And that's a wonderful thing to be informed about God. But it needs to go beyond that. There needs to be a personal acquaintance. And every day we have that opportunity. It's one thing to know what the Scriptures say. It's another thing to experience what the Scriptures say. To be able to read the Word of God and say, "Yes, that has happened in my life. That is happening in my life. I know what He's talking about." That's the kind of knowledge that we need. Notice in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We ought to be in earnest pursuit of this kind of knowledge of God. Verse 3, "If thou criest after knowledge," that's desire, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her. So it's not just a desire, it now become a seeking. Has silver and searches for her as for hid treasures. That is, there's a digging. There's a digging. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. And find the knowledge of God. We hear the instruction of Job in Job 22 and verse 21. He says, acquaint, that is, familiarize yourself with, acquaint now. That's whatever the present is, that's now. Acquaint now thyself, that's personal, with him. With him. We're to acquaint ourselves with God. Hosea 6 and verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Which gets back to that desire and that seeking. So if a child of God does not know the Lord in this way, from Hosea 6 and verse 3, if we follow on to know the Lord, we'll know him. So if a child of God doesn't know the Lord in this way, it's because he or she does not follow on. They do not seek that knowledge, because this is a knowledge, a personal experience. We're not talking about just mere theology here. We're talking about a personal experience of God. That's something that we can all have. Philippians 3, Paul speaking of what he was desiring and pursuing, mentioned in verse 10, that I may know him. That I may know him. He says, that's what I follow after. That I may know him. That I may know him. When we read the Word of God, that ought to be our desire, that I may know him. So, this fact that God can be known ought to have a powerful impact upon our lives. It's something that is of great value. I mean, what price can you put on knowing God in this way? What can be better than knowing God this way? Amen. Jeremiah 9. In verse 23, notice if we turn there, Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So in that verse, we have the wise, we have the mighty, we have the rich. God says that the wise are not to glory in their wisdom, in their so-called intellectualism. The mighty are not to glory in their might or their power or their positions of authority. And the rich are not to glory in their riches or their material possessions. The word glory here is a verb, and it means to take pleasure, to revel in, to rejoice, to delight, to boast, to get a thrill out of. They're not to glory in these things. Verse 24, let him that glorieth, let him that rejoices, rejoice in this, that he understandeth. That is, understanding is to have insight. Here it's talking spiritually. Rejoice in spiritual insight. and knoweth me, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. That's what we're to glory in. That's what we're to find rejoicing in. Spiritual insight into who God is. Spiritual insight into the ways of God is far, far more valuable than secular education. And there are not many today sitting in Baptist churches that believe that. Oh, they'll say they do, but their practice proves otherwise. This understanding of God is more valuable than secular education, more valuable than intellectualism, more valuable than position, more valuable than status, more valuable than things. There are not many today who believe that. Very, very few. Almost all sitting in churches today will say they believe that, but their lives prove otherwise. We read in Hosea 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Not lack of education. Not lack of intellectualism. Not lack of position. Not lack of status. Not lack of things. Do not be deceived. Insight and confidence and assurance and persuasion concerning who God is and the ways of God is far more useful, far more helpful, far more beneficial than secular education, than intellectualism, than position and status and things. Far more valuable to know God. It amazes me. Well, so-and-so is going for a better education, and they leave the church to do so. I'm sorry, that don't make sense. That's ignorance. But it happens all the time. Oh, but we believe that the spiritual is most important. No, you don't. Or you wouldn't think that way. So, it is, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowing God. Consider the impact of this knowledge. Job 22:21 again, acquaint now thyself with him and be, that's a state of being, be at peace. Our state of being can be peace when we know who God is. Amen. And there aren't many whose state of being is peace. Oh, they may have their moments, but their state of being is not peace. It's because they don't know Him in this way. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm saying they have not reached this degree of knowledge. In Psalm 9, verse 10, "And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee." You realize a lack of trust in God shows a lack of knowledge of God. Jesus said to the woman of well, "Hadst thou known, thou would have." That's true. If we knew who God was, we wouldn't have any trouble trusting Him. None whatsoever. Daniel 11, verse 32. Drawing a contrast with those who do wickedly, we read, "But the people that do know their God shall be," there it is again, the state of being, "shall be strong." They shall be strong. Not just every now and then. This shall be their state of being. They shall be strong and do. So this knowledge and their state of being has an effect upon their activity. Exploits. Marvelous. Unheard of things. We read in our text here in 1 John 2 and verse 3. And hereby. The word hereby simply means by this means. And hereby or And by this means, we do know that we know him. So what follows is how we can know we know God. How we can be sure that we know God. And he gives the statement, if we keep his commandments. Not just every now and then. This is our life. If we keep his commandments, not only can we know God, we can know that we know him. And what a difference that makes in our day. To know God and to know that I know God. That makes a difference. In other words, we can be certain. This certainty proceeds, again, read it, hereby we do know that we know him if. This certainty proceeds from the impact that our knowledge has upon our life. The impact that this knowledge has upon our life says loud and clear our degree or the kind of knowledge that we have of God. And we all fall to pieces sometimes. But there are people who fall to pieces all the time. That shows a great lack of knowledge. We all react the wrong way sometimes. But there are people who react the wrong way almost all the time. I mean, you can just mark it down. If this happens, they're going to react in a bad way. Why is that? Is it just personality differences? No, I don't think so. It gets back to a knowledge of God. Our knowledge of God has an impact upon our lives. Again, getting back to school, they could give me information all day long, but guess what? As soon as that bell rang, that information didn't mean anything to me. Didn't mean anything. Had no impact upon the rest of my day. So, this is something more than just information about God. It's a level of knowledge that has an impact upon our lives. It puts us in a state of being, a state of peace, a state of strength, a state of trust. This knowledge of God puts us in a state of being. And when we are in that state of being, a lot of bad things can happen that man would perceive as bad. But we have this state of being, and we know all is well. Because we know God. We know the Lord. So, our state of being and how relevant God is to our life and how much God impacts our life speaks volumes of our level of knowledge. Someone can sit in church all their life. They can sit under sound preaching all their life and never have any more than information about God. That's all they ever have. And they're easy to pick out. They're very easy to pick out. You don't have to be around long to see who they are. It shows in their life. It shows every time adversity comes into their life. It always shows. They might as well wear a sign that says, I have information about God, but that's all I have. And that's sad. And we as God's people, again, we do have information about God. But we are to advance past just mere information. It's to become our life. So it ought to be our constant, it ought to be our fervent prayer. Lord, show me yourself. Show me yourself. Someone may say, well, we ought to ask God to show us ourselves. Well, if you ask God to show himself to you, in the last chapter of Job, when Job saw God, what else did he see? He saw himself. He saw how vile he was. So it ought to always be our prayer. Every time we open this book, Lord, show me yourself. Teach me yourself. Not just show me, but Lord, teach me yourself. And again, we've said it many times. What's coming? I'm not predicting anything, but based upon the Word of God, what's coming is going to require more than just information about God. You will not make it if that's all you have. Information about God. We need to be spending our days getting to know God on a more personal level. That needs to be our mission every day. And one of the reasons is because of what's coming. That's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to cause us to stand. Again, people will say all the time, oh, I'd lay down my life. They wouldn't even quit a job. They won't even be inconvenienced for the cause of the Lord. And are you foolish enough to believe that they're going to lay down their life? I'm sorry. That's not the person I want to be in the foxhole with. Because they're not laying down their life. They haven't up to this point. What makes you think all of a sudden they're just going to turn it on? It's not going to happen. We need to know God. And we need to acquaint ourselves with people. We need to enjoy being around people who know God. Those are the people we want to be around. People that know God, because those people encourage us. And we encourage them. So again, we can know that we know. How wonderful that is to go to bed every night knowing that you know God. And waking up the next day not knowing what the day is going to bring forth, but I know this, I know God. What a wonderful way to live life, and what a difference it makes in our lives. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us first song. Let's all stand, Brother Jim.